today's reading will be in Luke 24, verses 36 to 53. And that can be found on page 885 of the Pew Bibles. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do you doubt? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in the name to all nations, in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witness of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, James. Hi, everyone. I just want to give a special welcome to you if you're here and you're new and or you're here because of Holiday Bible Club. My name's Henry. I'm the assistant minister here. And it's my job today to finish our Holiday Bible Club series. We've been thinking about who is Jesus. We've been secret agents, looking at the evidence, finding out who he is. We've talked about how he meets lost people and saves lost people. On Friday, we spoke about how he died on the cross. And here, in this story, Jesus appears alive again. We see life from the dead. Life from the dead. I wonder what you think or feel as I say that. Life from the dead. Maybe your initial reaction is to think wishful thinking. Maybe your initial reaction is to think ludicrous. Fairy story. Maybe your initial reaction is to think, sounds good, but I'm just not sure I've got enough to believe it. Well, in Star Wars, the film, there's this thing called the Force. And if you don't know, the Force is a really cool thing that enables you to move things with your mind and do mind tricks and lots of cool things. It enables you to be a Jedi. And some people have the Force. Some people don't. And in one of the films, we learn that the people who have the Force are people who have something inside them called midichlorians. And if you have lots of midichlorians, you have the Force or the ability to use the Force. And if you have no midichlorians or little midichlorians, then you just can't use the Force. And I begin with that little picture. It's because I think we often think of faith like Star Wars presents the Force. You either have it or you don't. I've had conversations with people where they've said, this Jesus thing sounds good, but I'm just not a person of faith. Or I just wish I could have faith like you have. Or I would love to have faith, but I'm not ready to take that leap yet. We often think of faith as a leap. It's this thing you either have or you don't. Well, the first thing to say to that is that as Christians, we believe that faith doesn't come from us. It's not based on our strength and our ability to muster up some sort of belief or willpower. Strength of our faith is not based on us, but on the person we have faith in, Jesus Christ. And we believe that Jesus Christ conquered death. We believe in life from the dead. And as we begin to think in this passage about the life offered by Jesus, the resurrection life, as we think of this theme, life from the dead, I just want to encourage you, perhaps you're here and you're not sure about this whole thing, that you might not be as far away from being able to take that step or that leap, if it feels like that, as you may think, because every worldview, I'll be as bold as to say, believes in life from the dead. If you're here and you subscribe to a religion, you believe in some sort of creative being that brought something out of nothing. And if you're here and you don't believe in a God, there's a moment in, you might call yourself an atheist or an agnostic, there's a moment in the timeline of the existence where there was nothing, where there was no life, and then there was life. You might believe that there was a bang, you might believe that there was ever-expanding strings, but there was a moment where there was no life, and there was life. Life from the dead. We all believe in some way, shape, or form in a life from the dead universe. The question is, do you believe that everything came from something, or everything came from nothing? That's the difference when you boil it down. We all, in our view of existence, need life from the dead, otherwise we wouldn't be here. I was watching a YouTube video of an interview with a person called Ian Hersey Ali, who converted 10 years ago, well, maybe a bit longer than that, converted from Islam to atheism. And 10 years ago, you'd have seen her sat around debate tables with Richard Dawkins as one of his closest allies. She was part of the new atheist movement. And she's recently become a Christian. And there's an interview on YouTube. You can find it really easily. It's on a channel called Speak Life. And the title of the interview is Atheism Was Not Enough. Atheism was not enough. Because, to paraphrase the interview, while when the going gets tough, and atheism offers rational logic, which is good, which isn't necessarily bad, but we need it, but just offers the rational logic of what we can see, and basically says, well, we're here by chance, and there's nothing beyond what we can see. While her atheism was offering her that in her head, her soul was crying out, there must be more. Her soul was crying out, it shouldn't be this way. Her atheism says, this is just the way it is, because this is the way our atoms have come together. But her soul was crying out, it should not be this way. There must be more. As she thought about the idea of showing compassion to people who were different to her, the rational atheistic view was, well, survival of the fittest. But there was something in her saying that, no, we're more than just the sum of our parts. There's an equality here. No matter who we are, we're equal. And that led her to a creator God who created us in his image. Her atheism wasn't enough to make sense of her human experience. It wasn't enough to explain why she cried out in pain when things got hard. It wasn't enough to explain why it is good to have compassion on those who are different or seem weaker than her. What she needed was a story outside of her immediate story that made sense of what it was to be human. What she needed was a story that filled the hole in her soul. What she needed was Jesus Christ and the story of him breaking into this world. The story of him entering into our sufferings and pain, suffering and dying on the cross and being raised to new life. Life from the dead. Life from the dead. And what we see in this story is not a group of really faithful people who have it all together, not a group of people who are like, yeah, we're going to believe in Jesus no matter what people say. We see his followers cowering in a room, We learn that particularly in the end of John's gospel. His followers, his disciples, the people he appears to in verse 36, were hiding in a room, scared for their lives. And Jesus came to them. He broke in to their lives and said, "Peace." He said, "Come follow." And in doing so, he brought them new life, a new joy, an eternal hope. They tasted this resurrection life, life from the dead. And as we look through this story quickly, I want us to see three things about the life that Jesus offers. He offers a life that is full, a life that is forever, and a life that is for anyone. A life that is full, a life that is forever, a life that is for anyone. Firstly, he offers a life that is full. Have a look down at this story, if you've got your Bible open. We find them in verse 36 in a room together, talking about the things that happened, talking about Jesus and the past events of his death on the cross and his resurrection. And Jesus comes in and says, "Peace to you." It's like the holiest game of hide and seek. I imagine them talking, and then suddenly Jesus is there. He goes, "Peace to you." And they're like, "Whoa, what's going on?" But there he is. And they're frightened, aren't they? Verse 37. But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, and this is him speaking in compassion, "Why are you troubled? Why do you doubt in your hearts?" And he says, "Touch, look, and feed." He says, "See my hands," verse 39. "See my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see." He's saying, "I'm not a ghost. I'm not a spirit. Look at my body. This is full physical life. This is Jesus himself, not a shell of who he is, but here in bodily form, here in his fullness. Life in its fullness is in front of them. Resurrected life, life from the dead." And if they were in any doubt, he goes, "Can I have a snack? You got any food to eat, guys?" And they give him a broiled fish. I actually don't know what a broiled fish is. It doesn't sound very nice. But they gave him this fish, and he ate the fish. He was alive, bodily, fully. Full life was in front of them. Life from the dead. I don't watch many horror films, but if in the kind of pictures of zombie apocalypses, there's a physical representation of kind of life from the dead, where the being is physical, but they're still overcome by death. They've not got a soul. Or you see it pictured as more of a ghost who has the soul part, but not the physical part. Jesus has not been overcome by death. He has overcome death. He has trampled over death. He has defeated death. And he's there standing before them, raised to life. Physical, full life. Life from the dead. When I wash up, I often get bored. Don't like the washing up. And one thing I like to do, because I'm a bit sad, I like when I've got a greasy frying pan, I like to just put a drop of fairy liquid into it. Because what happens? You put the drop of fairy liquid in it, and it looks small. It plops in, but then it pushes all the grease to the side. It looks pretty cool. You should try it later when you're washing up from your Sunday lunch. Just drop a little bit of fairy liquid into the frying pan, poof, and it'll push all the grease to the side. Jesus, on the cross, I'm sorry that I'm comparing Jesus to a drop of fairy liquid, but please do track with me. Jesus on the cross looked weak. He looked small. He looked like he was losing. He was going down into death. But the thing is, death could not hold him. He went down into death and poof, he pushed it away. He went down into death and he overcame death. He went down into death and death could not hold him. Death was not strong enough for the Almighty Son of God. He overcame death and death couldn't touch him. Death lost its grip on him because he was raised to life in fullness, physical life. He stood before them, said, "Touch me, look at me, feed me." And that means, if you're new to Christianity and you're new to this whole church thing, it's good for us to be reminded if we're regulars as well, the Christian hope is not ultimately a spiritual hope. It's a physical hope. That one day we will be with Jesus forever. not in the clouds, but in this world, in a new, restored, physical world. We will run, we will dance, we will leap, we will work, we will eat. But we will not be in pain, we will not be crying. There'll be a goodbye to goodbyes, which is the title of a children's book we've got. We'll be together with our Lord and Savior forever, fully, physically with him in a restored new creation. Because Jesus rose from the dead, because of life from the dead that is found in Jesus, full physical life. And another thing this means, the fact that Jesus was physically appearing before his disciples, is that the resurrection either happened or it didn't happen. In our culture today, we like to go, oh, that's nice for you. That could be true for you, but I don't think it's true for me. Can I encourage you here that if the claims of Christianity are that Jesus entered into this world in history, died on the cross, and rose physically from the grave. And not only that, he appeared to over 500 people. He appeared to his disciples. He appeared to all sorts of people who claimed to see him physically alive, risen from the grave. Too many people would have a hallucination. That's scientifically, physically impossible. They would all have the same hallucination. But not so many people that if the Roman Empire had wanted to squash that that little movement, they couldn't have just done it like that. But no, because they believed in something real, because they believed in the risen, fully physical Jesus Christ, because they believed in the risen, conquering Jesus Christ, this movement swept the face of the earth. This movement changed the world, and not even the might of the Roman Empire could stop it. Because Jesus was fully alive. Jesus stood before 500 people, eyewitnesses, who were so blown away by what they could see, who were so overcome by the hope that was on offer, they said, we're willing to lose our life for the sake of this news. Not in a kind of radical way where they do harm to others, but we're willing to lose everything because we know we have everything. As someone said quite poetically, he is no fool to lose what he cannot keep, to gain what he cannot lose. These people were so sure that they'd seen the risen Jesus, they lost everything because they had a hope, which was life from the dead. Full life, physical life. This life is full, but it's also forever. It's a forever kind of life. And because the second event that happens in this passage, Jesus appears to his disciples. He says, peace to you. The second event that happens is that Jesus ascends to heaven. Again, he's still a human body here. He's still a person, full life. But he goes to be with his Father in verse 50. He led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up to heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple blessing God. A common thing in particularly Eastern countries is to have shrines or monuments to religious leaders. And a lot of these appear, and people make pilgrimages to them, to the place where that person is buried, to visit the bones of the person that was buried and that was influenced their movement or their faith. And one of the things that people, even secular kind of archaeologists, know is that there's none of this for Jesus. There's no place where people can go to see the tomb of Jesus. There's no place that they can go to where the people know that the bones of Jesus were buried. Why? Well, the Christian faith says he is not here. He is risen. That Jesus wasn't raised from the dead and then 30 years later he died again. Jesus rose from the grave and has never died. Jesus rose to the grave to eternal, undefeatable life. He rose from the grave and then he ascended into heaven and he sat there on his throne, ruling and reigning in life forever. Forever, unstoppable life. That's the hope of the Lord Jesus, ascended into heaven. That he is in heaven, trailblazing a way for us to join him. He's in heaven, securing us a place, preparing a place for us to join him. Jesus is there on his throne. He hasn't died again. He went to be with his Father, and therefore our hope is a forever hope, a hope that will never end, a hope of being with him forever. And one day he will come back in his physical form. He'll come back in power and he will renew this world and we will be with him forever. And we too will never die again. This hope, this life is full and it's forever. That's the hope on offer in Christianity. Full life, forever life. But lastly, how do we get this life? Who's this life for? How do we access this offer of life from the dead? This life is for anyone. It's full, it's forever, and it's for anyone. As I said earlier, the disciples were cowering in a room. They'd run to save their own skin. When Jesus died on the cross, they'd abandoned him. They'd left. One of the main disciples, the lead disciples, had denied that he even knew Jesus 3 times. These were not people that deserved Jesus to come to them. These are not people who had made the grade. These were not people who were particularly bold. They weren't naive, gullible people. They weren't expecting Jesus to rise from the dead. It's not like back then they were like, oh, this happens all the time. No, they weren't expecting it. They were afraid. They were scared. And what does Jesus come and do? He comes and stands among them. He brings himself to them and says, peace to you. He comes to the ones who had run away and brings them near and says, come and be friends with me. Come and have a relationship with me. And maybe you're here today and you've been living life without God and you've run away from God and you've been scared to come to God, or you think, I've just messed up too much. The God of the Bible comes to sinful people and says, peace. The God of the Bible comes to sinful people and says, come and be my friend. Because the message of the Bible is summed up in verse 46. The verse before Jesus opens his disciples' mind to understand the scriptures, to understand the Bible. And then he says to them, thus it is written. This is Jesus' like summary of the whole Bible story. That the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and the repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses to these things. He's saying, guys, here's our message. That I've died and risen again. And I want you to tell and take this good news to all people everywhere. No exceptions. This news is for anyone from any background, any nation, whatever you've done. This news is for you. It's an offer of repentance. That's called turning. Turning away from doing my own thing to turning to God and his forgiveness. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins. No matter what kind of week you've had this week, no matter what kind of life you've lived, this is for you. This is an offer for you. Jesus died on the cross so that anyone who believes in him can have life in his name, so that we could be forgiven. And he rose from the grave so that we could know life from the dead as well. He rose from the grave so that we could know his life-giving life, his life from the dead, his eternal, full, forever life. And he sent his disciples out, like he sends us out, to share that news as witnesses of what we have seen. Not that we don't have to be theologians, we don't have to be super brainy, we don't have to have all the answers. We have to be witnesses. A witness is someone who's seen something that has happened and tells and testifies to what they've seen. If you're here and you're a believer, your job, your obligation, like a witness called into court, is to testify to what you have seen. It's to testify to the risen Lord Jesus and how he has transformed your life. It's to share that when you were lost, Jesus came and rescued you. It's to testify to the grace of the Lord Jesus and to share that with anyone. There's no one too far off that Jesus cannot say peace to you. There's no one who is too broken, too messy, that Jesus can't come into their lives and say peace to you. Maybe you're here today and you feel like you've run from Jesus. You feel hopeless, you feel messy and broken. Can I just say welcome? Welcome to church. We love that you're here. But can I also say that Jesus is a God that doesn't say, fix yourself, sort yourself out, and then you can come to me. He comes to us and says, peace. He comes to us and says, see my hands and my feet. Come and believe in what I have done for you. Come and trust in my death and resurrection. Turn from believing in it, that your way is best, and turn to trusting and believing in me, and you'll be forgiven and you'll have life forevermore, life from the dead. Can I encourage us all this morning to be placing our trust, placing our hope in Jesus, who brings life from the dead, life that is full, that is forever, and life that is for anyone. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you. Thank you for that picture which has struck me this week of the disciples afraid, troubled, struggling to believe. And Jesus comes in and says, peace. He offers them himself. He offers them his presence. He offers them a second chance, forgiveness, a relationship with him, restoration. And I pray, God, now for anyone who feels their brokenness, who feels afraid, who feels alone, God, would you meet them? Father, I pray for us who are maybe feeling far away from you. Would we know your presence drawing close to us now? Would we stop trusting in ourselves, in what we've done? Would we stop looking to our record of right and wrong and all that we've done? Would we look to what Jesus has done? Would we trust in him? Would we turn to him? And Jesus, help us to cling to that hope, to trust in that hope of life from the dead. Full life. Forever life. We thank you for that hope, Jesus, and we bless you and worship you and praise you. We pray this and thank you for this in your name. Amen.